baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Back, buddy. Look at this.
You're back.
Alberta, here
Welcome.
We are.
Yes.
I've got pictures on the wall again. I'm not in some random building. Your place is coming together.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Really happening here, and I just want everyone to know here, number one, welcome to the walk-off, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Always appreciate the viewership and the listenership. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by Adam Mack. Adam, being the very fun and jovial man that he is, suggested that maybe we would dress up for Halloween, and being the old crotchety man that I have become, said, wow, that sounds like a lot of work, Adam.
You so literally just texted me back and said, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work.
Those were my exact words, yes. So just for everyone out there, know that half of this podcast is very fun. And the other half could
okay.
not be bothered.
Sorry, just before we get into baseball, because I know we got a lot of baseball to cover. I'm going as Hopper from Stranger Things, so I'm wearing my Hopper shirt at the moment.
Oh, buddy,
have
love
my mustache.
Your mustache.
My daughter is going as 11, so we got her shirt all painted up and ready to go the other day. I took a picture to send my mom and dad because she was so proud of herself. And my brother pointed out that she didn't have the 11 tattoo on her arm. So I don't know how we missed that little detail, but a big detail. So shout out to my uncle or my brother, Uncle Jer, for the catch on that one. So she's
wow,
at school
Hopper,
all
buddy,
dressed up.
You're
for
nailing
Halloween.
It, man.
We are nailing it. Halloween is a big deal once you start having a 10-year-old around the house, let me tell you. Pumpkins and everything last night.
I can imagine. My cat could care less, so it's not the same here.
All right. So what do we got on the agenda for baseball today? I know we got a lot to get to.
Okay.
So.
Lots coming up here. I do want to mention that we've got a guest coming up next week that I'm very excited about. Steve Williams. He's out of England, and some of you may have even seen him. He was featured on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker at the end of the season. And if you're involved on the online Blue Jays community at all, you probably recognize him from Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. He's Blue Jays Fans UK. So we're going to kind of chat with him about his experiences following the Blue Jays in a place where, let's be serious, kind of a tough job to do. Games in the night, you got to like have your all of your apps and stuff like silenced so you don't hear the scores and stuff. I'm just kind of excited to hear how Blue Jays fans in the UK kind of follow this team and not drive themselves crazy.
You know what it would be like? It would be like, you know, when the World Juniors are in like Czechoslovakia. I don't know if that's still a country
100%.
Or not.
And we're getting up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, we're getting up at 4 to watch hockey games for a week. And we're like, oh, this is kind of fun, but it's like 1 week. It would be like that but for 162
games. Yeah, exactly. So. For those of you that are on social media and following the walk-off, obviously we've got our Twitter account, at walk-off podcast, the Instagram account, the walk-off podcast, and we're new to TikTok. Adam, feel free to let everyone know where they can find you there.
Yeah, on TikTok, at the Walk Off Podcast. It's not just for kids anymore.
We're very streamlined with our naming, everybody.
Yes, exactly.
So. Search the Walk Off. It's easy. That's
You'll
right.
You'll find us.
Okay, lots to get to here. The Braves continue to make me eat my words. Obviously, we'll get into the World Series. Gold Glove finalists as well as Silver Slugger finalists have been announced. The Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award was given out, as well as the AL Most Outstanding Pitcher Award, which are voted on by the players and the Blue Jays involved
hold
in
on.
All of those.
So both of those awards are basically the same thing, but one's for a fielder and one's for a pitcher, right?
More or less, the Marvin Miller Award is for excellence on and off the field, but yeah, they're pretty.
But like voted on by the players, it's like you're voted on by your peers, right? It's not a sports journalist award or anything like that. And both awards are like that.
No, exactly.
So why don't we have a pitcher to name that award after? If the Marvin Miller Award is named after Marvin Miller, I'm assuming. So why is the pitching one just the most outstanding? Why can't we call it like the Roy Halladay Award?
I don't know. We'll need to write Manfred.
We'll get on it. I know he's going to be busy with the
get a letter writing campaign going here. That's yes, right.
Exactly. All right.
Marcus Semien, by the way, too, made a pretty big announcement yesterday that has all the Jays fans in Blue Jays universe feeling like we've been stabbed in the heart a little bit. We'll delve into that and all sorts of stuff to get into here. So we'll do that. Before I do that, too, I do want to bring up, I had such a funny chat with a friend of the show, big lefty in the Blue Jays bullpen, Taylor Sesedo, on Instagram yesterday. He posted the PETA.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is so funny to me. And you know what's funny? I thought this was an Onion article at first, and then I looked into it. I'm like, no, PETA is being legit here. So PETA announced that they are pushing Major League Baseball to make a change. They don't like the name bullpen. They figure it's offensive to cows, and they would like it to be changed to the arm barn, which honestly just sounds like a clearance center for prosthetics. Like, it just sounds like, hey, the arm barn, come on down to the arm barn.
Yes, the War Amps arm barn.
But it was really funny, like, we were just going, like, Sesedo even posted, he's like, this is terrible, this can't be real. But we were just kind of going back and forth, so it's kind of funny. If you want to check it out, it's still on his Insta story there, Taylor Sesedo.
Amazing.
Okay. At that, let's delve into this thing, the World Series. And I don't know what my problem is here, man. I'll be honest. I cannot get behind this Braves team. And I know I'm like one of the friggin'
against the Astros, because, no less. You can't get behind
I
them.
Know, man. I know I'm wrong. I'm in the wrong, everybody. I just want to just announce that right here, that I'm well aware that this is a terrible take. And I should – I don't know why I can't. It's bitterness. I think it's bitterness is why I can't get behind this Braves team. Like, I just see that 88 wins, and it just infuriates me.
You're like, why don't we have the crossover, is what you're wondering.
Exactly. In a garbage division. It's a garbage division. They get 88 wins. The Milwaukee Brewers roll over during their NLDS series, like the best starting pitching in baseball, and they didn't bring it at all. And then the Dodgers and the Giants go the distance. The Giants beat the crap out of them. Dodgers squeak through. And then the Braves take care of business. And I'll give it to them. You know, like, the Braves did what they had to do. But I don't know, man. I don't know. Even from the beginning, Mike Soroka goes down. And I'm like, no team That's, can lose their ace and continue yeah. to go.
Good Canadian kid, by the way.
Then Marcelo Zuna, yeah, great Canadian kid out of Calgary. Yeah. Marcelo Zuna has the whole domestic violence incident happen where he's suspended for the rest of the year, which, let's face it, there's so much more to this story. His wife also has domestic violence charges. So it's a case where this has got to just bother his teammates so much, right, on so yeah. many levels. There's like that mental aspect to losing a guy of that caliber in that way and knowing that he's in a fiery relationship as it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, you think that would kill most teams. And then if that's not enough, Ronald Acuna Jr., generational talent, their Fair. Version of Vladdy Guerrero Jr.,
yeah.
goes down with about a quarter of the season left, and the Braves still do it. This is a great baseball story, and I should be all over this, and I can't do it. I can't cheer for them.
I don't know why you can't get behind them, because I'm fully on board. I was behind them since last round. I mean, I was...
Yeah.
Once we were down to the final four and we were kind of going down the list of teams, it was, for me, it was a pretty clear choice that the Braves were the underdog I wanted to cheer for. Maybe they don't feel like an underdog because they dominated for what, a decade and a half in the late 90s there.
Yeah.
So the Braves do
Maybe
feel
it's
like
part of that.
You know, I don't, yeah, I don't know, but yeah, Astros suck. I can't get behind the Astros.
Hey, I'm not even behind the Astros. Like, I've been watching this series, and I'm flipping who I'm cheering for depending on who's winning. Like, I start cheering for the team who's losing all of a sudden. I don't know, man. It's okay, one of those things where I just...
Let's dive into the details here of game one, okay? Charlie Morton.
Okay. I know. This is a great
his
story.
His leg on a comebacker in the second or third inning, right?
Yeah.
Stays in the game throws 16 more pitches, strikes out two, including Jose Altuve, the devil himself, before leaving, and x-rays reveal that he has a broken fibula.
Yes.
How impressive
pitches,
is that?
16 pitches on a broken leg.
On a scale
my
of...
My goodness, man. On a like the heroics.
Look, on a scale of 1
10.
To Curt Schilling Red Sox, how impressive is that?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Curt Schilling Blood Sox game?
I think...
Is it more impressive than that?
Of course. It's one of the most... I would say it's more impressive. And what I love, too, is Charlie Morton totally threw shade at Curt Schilling, too, because he's like, the difference is I was on a broken leg while he kept rubbing his ankle. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but some shade being thrown.
Amazing. No.
It is a great story, man. And I love Freddie Freeman. And honestly, Anthopoulos, I think, is part of the reason why I can't get on board with this Braves team too. I don't want the Braves to win a World Series before the Blue Jays, even though I love Anthopoulos and respect everything he did for this organization, and he's a Canadian kid. There's no reason for me not to be on board with the Braves, and I'm not saying I'm cheering for the Astros. I watch these games and I just like feel no excitement for the Braves whatsoever. Hey, and Freddie Freeman's great too.
Yeah, quick reminder, if you needed another reason to get behind the Braves, Freddie Freeman, I mean, born in California, but Canadian in heritage, whatever that might mean, played for Team Canada in the World Baseball Classic. So, I mean, he's definitely proud of his Canadian roots. Mom and Dad, I believe, are both Canadian. So... You know, you got Joey Votto on the one side who seems to write Canada off despite being a full-blooded Canadian. And Freddie Freeman, on the other hand, very proud of where he comes from. So, Freddie Freeman, I think universally beloved in the MLB, just like a great person. So,
yeah, everyone seems to get behind Freddie. Great clubhouse guy, which is a well-known fact about him. And... You know what's even more frustrating about me not being able to get behind the Braves is I know the second this series is over, I won't care. Like, the second this series is over, I'll be like, yeah, the Braves were fine, right?
Well,
like,
and that's the trouble that the MLB's found itself in, is that I think most people feel the same way, that this is just kind of a whatever the fuck kind of a year.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I don't want to take anything away from what the Braves have done either way. I mean, we did kind of run down the laundry list of obstacles that they have overcome in this season, and it is incredibly impressive. In fact, even the going all in that Anthopoulos did at the trade deadline on a team that very easily could have just been written off. Now, yes, again, the division is garbage, and that's one of the reasons why he took that opportunity is he saw the opportunity to take the division. But there's a lot of general managers who wouldn't have done that.
Correct.
So even that is something that you've got to kind of respect that Braves organization for what they have done this season. I should be cheering for them, but I am not. Not cheering against them. I'm just not cheering, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways.
You're watching, but you're not cheering.
Did you have anything else to add in that series that's going on right now? Game 3, of course, going tonight.
No. I mean, it's heading back to Atlanta now, correct?
Yes.
After the first two being in Houston.
So we're going to get all the chopping.
We're going to get all the chopping while they still can, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Baseball's in a weird spot. This is might be our last baseball games until July. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to soak it all in, if I'm being completely honest.
Yes, I'm in the same boat. Despite not being able to cheer for either teams, it is nice that there's baseball right now, and it may be a while before we see it again.
You know,
all
what?
Right,
you're
into...
sorry. You're like. Do you ever see that meme of Rob? You know who Rob Lowe is, right?
Yeah.
He was at the Super Bowl one year wearing a ball cap that just had the NFL logo on it. He got ridiculed for that, of course, right? But that's what you are right now in the World Series. You're just like, go baseball.
Yeah, go baseball.
All right, let's move on to the World Series.
So Gold Glove finalists and Silver Slugger finalists were announced last week, or I should say this week. And the Blue Jays have players throughout all of them. Gold Glove finalist for pitchers, Jose Berríos of the Toronto Blue Jays, is in contention for one. Marcus Semien at second base and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in left field. Look at Lourdes. Another Gold Glove finalist season for him. Nobody makes me more nervous watching balls get hit into left field than our man Lourdes. So however, he does come up with the ball.
He comes up with the ball, and he has the, I don't know about Golden Glove, but Golden Arm for sure.
Oh.
He's got an absolute bionic arm attached there. That's got to be why he is
he did in contention, lead.
Right? Just leads outfield assists.
Lead the league in outfield assists, which is huge. And it was such a weapon in the last third of the season because guys wouldn't run. Mm-hmm. Guys just wouldn't get the wave from third.
Yeah, it's nice when you have a reputation as having a big arm to the point where you don't even need to use it.
Yes. Like, that was the thing, right? Is he threw out 15. He had 15 outfield assists going into August, I think it was. And then I think he's got one more. And, like, guys just weren't running. Right.
So that's, you're holding a guy up with a single instead of a double, or a guy's not rounding third and scoring, right? Like,
exactly.
That's the difference maker.
Maybe on a shallow fly pop, you know, a shallow fly ball. They're not exactly. Silver Slugger, this is impressive because the Jays have five Silver Slugger finalists. And I mean, this lineup was deadly all year.
Danny Jansen didn't make the list just because of injury time, right?
Danny did not make the list.
Okay, just because of the injuries, right?
First base, Vladdy, obviously. He's going to win that. Second base, Semien. He's also probably going to win that. Bo Bichette is a
strong
slugger finalist.
Yep.
At shortstop. Teoscar in the outfield and Lourdes in the outfield. So with Lourdes Gurriel Jr., having a Silver Slugger finalist as a Silver Slugger finalist and a Gold Glove finalist. How good he looked in September, literally carrying this team for weeks at a time.
Three grand slams in September or something like that.
Like four on the year. Like just clutch hitting by this man, especially in the last third of the season. Do you think that all of this trade talk with him being rumored in it might start to dissipate now? Or do you think it ramps up? Because his value is probably the highest it's ever been. But at this point,
that's a great point.
Is the Jays organization going to look at him and be like, you know what, maybe he's actually everything we thought he could be. He's still on two more years at $3 million a year. Like, why would we move this guy?
Well, here's the difference. I still think that Lourdes is a streaky guy.
Yes.
He got streaky at the best possible time, the end of the year, right? Whereas Randall Grichuk had arguably, other than the Grand Slams, had just as hot of a streak at the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Really helped carry this team through the early days of no George Springer.
He was our Lourdes in April, for sure.
Which is a terrible nickname that nobody wants.
Nobody wants to be Mr. April.
But, his value is as high as it could ever be. Now, if I trusted anyone to make the evaluation, it is the Shapiro and Atkins team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they made an evaluation on someone named Austin Martin, who Blue Jays fans have already started to forget about.
Yeah.
Struggled in the minors after getting traded. I'm still weary about that trade. But maybe if he's gone, I would say that just says they feel he was streaky and this would strike while the iron's hot. If he sticks around, I think that just means they think it's for real, and it probably is.
So while we're talking about guys at the peak of their value... Marcus,
you want to trade Vladdy?
Yeah, right. You nailed it. Out of my brain.
Well, I'm just saying.
We're finishing each other's sentences now.
If we want to get a haul for prospects, I don't know if Vladdy's going to... I mean, let's talk the contract. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Okay, so Marcus Semien won the Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award for his excellence on and off the field. Just a leader, inspiring to others, and it was voted on by MLB players. And it's very cool to see kind of the respect that the man gets for what he does off of the field. I mean, he's always been a guy that they talk about his clubhouse.
Leadership,
absolutely. And it's very cool to see him get recognized for that. Yeah. Now, we already mentioned him as a finalist for the Gold Glove. He's probably going to win that. We already mentioned him as a finalist for the Silver Slugger. He's probably going to win that. He just mentioned yesterday that he has hired Scott Boras as his new agent, which anyone in baseball knows the Boras Corporation just gets guys paid. They
absolute
are where
powerhouse
you go
agency.
They are where you go to be represented if you're one of the big guys. And Semien is now one of the big guys, and he is going to make money.
So, okay, is this too hot of a take for me to say that this is an indication, 0% chance that he returns to the Blue Jays next year? 0% chance, right? We can agree on that. He's going to get max years, max money. He's done with the Jays.
I don't agree with 0%. I do think that we are at a point now where it's a much more likely that he goes elsewhere. I still think the Blue Jays have a shot at Marcus Semien. And one of the reasons why I believe that is that we are about to see how the market shapes up on the greatest free agent shortstop class to probably ever hit the market. And we don't know how this is going to play out. Are every single one of these guys going to get 10-year, $350 million deals? Absolutely not. In fact, I'm even leaning towards it's possible none of them get that, because teams are going to have all of this wait and see kind of feel about their offseason, I think. They're going to see where guys sign. The CBA is up in the air. And I don't know, man. How are you feeling? Do you think teams are going to start throwing around big money? I think big money could be thrown around, but it might not be till February or March.
I think that the cap for Blue Jays with Semien was around 3 or 4 years and like 90 to 110 million.
And he's going to get way more than
that. And I think he's just going to get way more. I think there's zero chance that they're going to get him at a discount. Barring some weird situation where all the buyers have found their dance partner and he's the last one standing. And then maybe it's just like, hey, if you want any money, the Jays are the only option.
I mean, the rumors that I'm hearing is that he's after 6 years, $180 million. And if that's the case, then I don't think the Jays do that. I don't think the Jays do the Springer deal with him. 6 years, 150. I still think that's high. And I could be wrong, man. Like, here's the thing. Look at the hardware that he's collecting right now. He's one of the best fielders in baseball, one of the best hitters in baseball.
Here's one thing I read that, because as soon as I read that announcement, first thing I did, I mean, was read Jays sites, right? Sportsnet and all these Jays fan opinions on what this means, right? But then as soon as I got done reading all those, and those didn't make me feel any better, then I started going to the same thing but for the Yankees, right? What's John Boy's take on this? Yankees fans are pretty adamant that they're not going to get Marcus Semien, which makes me feel good, right? Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that he wants to go back to being shortstop. And the price tag that he's looking for.
And he wants to go to the West Coast.
Yes. Here's the thing with shortstop, though. Here's the argument against handing him $200 million. Let's just call it $200 million.
Sure.
Do you really want to put a long-term mega dollar commitment to one of the most important positions on your team to an aging star? He's 31, and not to discredit him, I mean, lots of guys play into their 30s. This is the argument against, right? He's aging, so he's 31. He's on the older side of all those free agent shortstops that are available. Yes, he's a shortstop by blood, I guess, but He played second base all of this year. The year before was the shortened season, so he only played 50 games at shortstop. So he hasn't played a full season at shortstop since 2019, and he's aging, and you want to give him $200 million? If I'm in control of the checkbook, that's concerning.
True. However, there are options out there. You look at the Dodgers and Chris Taylor, who is their kind of move around guy. He plays second. He plays center. Trey Turner has one more year left if they're not going to extend him. So maybe Semien would possibly fit into the Dodgers, and they've got money. Now, Marcus Semien also would be a good fit in Seattle. I just don't know if Seattle is going to buck up, right? Like, Seattle's probably the if I'm going to pick the team that it just makes the most
sense. Just the best fit.
The best fit? I think the Seattle Mariners are the best fit for Marcus Semien. That said, I think that the Blue Jays will outspend the Mariners. And if that's the case, maybe he does wind up back in Toronto. Like, if he's so dead set on Toronto or the West Coast and that's it, then he's limiting his options.
Yeah.
Which Scott Boras would hate. Boras is probably going to sit Marcus down and tell him to shut up about where he wants to be. Like,
probably. I just hope he doesn't end up with the Yankees.
Me too, man.
I don't know. I just feel as a from the Jays' perspective, I feel like if we are going to hand out 6 years, right? That's well into Bo Bichette and Vladdy need new contracts timeline.
Yes, absolutely.
So if we're going to hand out 6 years to anybody, I think the only person I'm interested in is Carlos Correa at 27, 28 years old.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I would be all into Corey Seager as well.
Sure, also Corey Seager, that's a good call.
And a lefty bat. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this shortstop free agent class plays out, because there are a lot of options out there for the teams that are after those high-end guys, and I think that is going to slow the market. Personally, I think it's going to slow the market, especially with the CBA negotiation going on between the MLBPA and the MLB. We might not see any movement on this for like a really heartbreaking amount of time. You know, we might not see anything until March. Who knows? Like, if this CBA negotiation goes into May, we might not even see any movement till May.
Yeah,
I think that's worst case scenario, but
it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be a wild off season watching that shortstop free agent class, because
yeah,
who wants to be the first guy to set the market value for shortstop, right?
Who's the first domino to fall? And that's going to be the most exciting thing about this whole thing, is who gives first. I mean, we already mentioned that Marcus is, after 6 years, $180 million. I've heard rumors that Correa is after $400 million in like 13 years. You know, same thing has been said for Corey Seager. I can't see these guys getting that money. But if that first domino falls and Correa gets $400 million, well, my goodness, then the market's been set. And that's why this may slow play as well, is that no one will wish to give that up, right? Management and the players.
I do feel like this is just total speculation on my part. I feel like the first domino to fall will not be Carlos Correa. I feel like the first domino to fall will be a not very sexy name. It'll be a Andrelton Simmons.
Yes, of course.
Someone is like, well, we know we aren't going to compete for those big names, but we do need a shortstop. And he's like, I have a chance to maybe walk away with a king's ransom here. And he might get a substantial contract still. Just, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting offseason for so many reasons.
Yeah. For so many reasons. Speaking of offseason, all these rumors are coming out about Steven Matz and that the Blue Jays are truly considering giving him a qualifying offer, which is incredibly interesting, because $18 million is where the bar is set for a qualifying offer this year. I think it's at $18.2 million, which is a lot for 1 year of Steven Matz. However, Steven Matz also has pitched so well in 2021 that I think he does deserve a multi-year deal. So it could be very intriguing to see what Matz does here. because $18 million for him is probably $6 million more for 1 year than he would is worth. He's probably a $12 million a year guy. My guess is he's after something along the lines of what Jay Happ got in 2016, right? 3 years, $36 million. That's probably where Steven Matz is sitting. So right. Does Matz have the balls to turn down $18 million, which would be half of what he would get for 3 years for 1 year? Or is he going to bet on himself and think that he can maybe push that market into the three-year $42, $44 million range? I don't know. Do you want Steven Matz for $18 million? He's 29. I think he just turned 30.
I don't know. It depends. I mean, there's a lot of...
If you can get the exact same production out of Steven Matz as you got in 2021 for $18 million, do you do it?
Okay, so for me...
I think I do.
For me, it's less about Steven Matz, and it's more about the rotation that we have in place otherwise.
Right.
Right? If we lose Robbie Ray, which I know will be a decision that we'd have to make on Matz before Robbie Ray. But how do we feel about bolstering that lineup? How do we feel about Nate Pearson genuinely taking that next step that we've been waiting for into being a starting pitcher?
I'm not betting on Pearson at all.
You're not betting on Pearson.
I don't think that's a good move. I would much rather see Nate Pearson played out very much like Alek Manoah did this year, where he is not counted into the math that goes into building that starting
pleasant
rotation.
Surprise. Okay.
Pleasant surprise, yes.
Okay. No, I think that's definitely the responsible way to treat it this offseason. There are other free agent pitchers available.
Yes, there are.
Do we want to go get an add a veteran like, you know, do the Dodgers let Clayton Kershaw walk away? Do we trust that he can pitch and stay healthy? Scherzer, I believe, is going to be a free agent again. Do
yes,
we throw $30 million at him to come to Toronto for a year?
Do you take a flyer on a guy like Justin Verlander after coming back from Tommy John surgery? Do you take a risk and go to a veteran like Zach Greinke? There are options out there if we want to go kind of that veteran route, which I would not be opposed to. However, I do think there is value in Steven Matz, and I do think that it's even possible he takes another step forward. Now, here's the thing. You don't want to bet too much on Steven Matz, but I don't think a one-year deal for $18 million is too much, personally. And if he turns it down, I mean, you get draft picks. And on top of that, it also gives you leverage to continue to negotiate with him, right? Because you're the one team out of the 30 that doesn't need to give up draft pick compensation if you do sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal.
Yeah. I do feel like ultimately I would be comfortable $18 million for 1 year with Matz.
It would be an overpay.
Yeah,
but
I don't know how comfortable I'd be giving him a multi-year, like $36 million over 3 years kind of deal. Like, I think I'd rather overpay 1 year. And if we were wrong, we were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this offseason, which really sucks because it's going to slow play so bad, man. We're going to be talking about this for months and months.
It's just
going to
be speculation until May, and then it's going to be like the theater is on
fire. An onslaught. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So. All right. Before we move on to the rest of the league here, I did wish to bring up that Gabriel Moreno continues to impress. The man is mashing right now in the Arizona Fall League. He's hitting almost .500 at this point in that season. He's getting starts behind the plate and legit, man, could be a top five prospect in all of baseball when Baseball America announces their new top prospect list in the spring. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything you wanted to see, right? Like last year, I was watching these Central America games with Vladdy, right? He was on his weight loss path, and like I was literally streaming off these like weird bootleg sites just trying to watch an at bat. way down south, right? So like it was cool to watch him develop through the off season and put the work in. And it's cool to just watch Gabriel Moreno, who, I mean, kind of had an injury that he was dealing with through the last half of the season for us. But like the hype is as high as it could be on Moreno. And it's just nice to see that like through the off season, he is continuing to perform.
Yeah, man, 100%.
So lots to be excited about with Gabriel Moreno. Man, do I ever hope he's still a Jay this time next year.
Agreed. We'll need to see what happens, but there's tons of rumors that trades are going to be the way that the Blue Jays really bolster this lineup, so pieces will be moved. Before we get out of this, I do wish to just bring up, and I just love that the Mets were after him, but Mark Shapiro, the New York Mets approached the Blue Jays organization about getting permission to interview Mark Shapiro for the president and GM position in New York, and they were told to pound sand. And I just love the idea that the Blue Jays organization said no. You know, it's Mark Shapiro picking up the phone, right?
Exactly.
Like, we're going to have to say no on this one.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be involved with the mess that is the Mets. So we're going to pass on this.
Oh, man. Would you rather be an Oakland fan or a Mets fan right now?
I don't know. We are going to get into Bob Melvin here in a second.
Like, just to start contrast, one organization knows what it's doing, has no money to spend. Yeah. One organization has unlimited resources.
All the money in the world.
It can't figure how to tie its own shoes.
Nope. It's crazy. And everyone was so hopeful when Steve Cohen bought the team. They're like, new ownership. Yeah. There's no way that the same problems will keep arising time and time and time again.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on here. A few other things to touch on before we call this a wrap. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Trevor Bauer tweeting that he is coming back next year. He says, what a season at Dodgers. Sucks that it had to end this way, but I'll be back next year to bring a title to LA. Hashtag Dodgers.
Well, I think it's more appropriate to maybe throw hashtag Angels on the end of that tweet. Ooh. If he wants to bring a championship to LA. Okay, I threw out 0% chance with Marcus Semien earlier. There's 0% chance Trevor Bauer plays for the Dodgers next year, right? That whole clubhouse hates him.
Do they just give him his $45 million and let him walk away?
Well, he has a player opt-out, does he not?
He has a player opt-out, but why would he opt out of that? It's $45 million. It's the highest, highest contract in baseball.
I know it's a lot of money, but I still feel like just because he's going to make $45 million doesn't mean they need to play him.
Oh, I'm with you.
Right? No, but just what I'm saying is if I'm Trevor Bauer, okay, and on the one hand, I can like demand my $45 million from a team, like an organization and all of my fellow teammates who hate my guts. Like, how much fun am I going to have making $45 million versus opting out? Maybe he would still get probably $30 million if he was to just opt out and return to free agency.
Who wants him? Like, I can't see
the Mets?
The Mets. He would fit right in with that culture.
There are so many teams that would take a chance on him. Look, Deshaun,
I don't know if you're right, man.
I don't know if you follow the NFL. Deshaun Watson is he's a quarterback for the Houston Texans. He's facing about 100 lawsuits right now for various levels of sexual misconduct, so he hasn't played at all this season.
Mm-hmm.
The trade deadline's coming up in the NFL, and his name is like the number one thing that's being talked about as a trade candidate. Like, teams want talent, and they want to win, right? And there doesn't ever seem to be any real blowback on teams doing the wrong thing from like a PR standpoint. Like, bringing in Trevor Bauer will make a difference on how many wins you get. It won't make a difference on how many season tickets you sell. So I think that's
right, man.
From in my opinion, that's where it comes down to, and that's a calculated decision that him and Rachel Luba are gonna have to make. You know, is
I think there's no way he opts out personally. I think they're going to force the Dodgers' hands, and if the Dodgers want him done, then they'll cut him. And then he can probably still go sign elsewhere.
So you think he just gets away with $45 million? And no, I see him.
I think he's still a Dodger.
Maybe.
I think that, like,
I just see them
for all the reasons you just said, man. Right?
See, that's another crazy storyline that I'm annoyed that we're even going to have to follow this offseason.
Yeah, right?
Like, oh, man, I used to love to hate him for being the villain that he is, and now I just hate that I even have to talk about him. I mean, whatever. Maybe in the end he gets vindicated and whatever, but, like, I don't know, man. I could see the Dodgers just eating $45 million and being like, well, fuck you then, like...
Yeah,
you can take your money, but we aren't pitching you in one single game. Like,
time will tell. I don't have a lot of faith in the Dodgers doing the right thing, personally, especially with Kershaw and Scherzer question marks right now as to whether they'll be back or even pitch again. I don't know, man. But anyways, let's move on from Bauer. Bob Melvin, one of the best managers in all of baseball, got... pried away from the Oakland A's hands. He is now the new manager of the San Diego Padres. Great move by the Padres, and they really are bringing a guy in there that does both the analytics side and just the eye test side of things together very well. He is considered a guy that is a player's manager and looks after his team. I think that this is great news for the Padres, terrible news for the A's.
Yeah.
All to save a buck. The A's even announced 2 days ago, welcome Bob Melvin back. We've picked up his option for 2022. And then the next day.
What a weird turn of events if you're an A's fan.
Very weird. Yeah, very weird. And it would be very disappointing. It'll be interesting. I mean, the A's are like the Rays, right? They're one of those teams that nobody has any value. Everyone's replaceable, and you can plug somebody else in. Or that's the mentality. I hate that mentality, but, man, they prove it works time and time again. So just glad we're cheering for a team that's not the case.
Yeah, no, we're very, very fortunate. I was just looking up, because this story I remember in, like, the early 2000s, I thought was the most hilarious thing as a Jays fan. And this kind of ties back into the Trevor Bauer thing. Do you remember Billy Koch?
Of course.
Relief pitcher for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So there was a hilarious thing in 2004, after leaving the Jays. He made a return to Toronto. They signed him for $950,000, and then released him during spring training. And Billy Koch announced that he was not going to attempt to sign with another team so that the Blue Jays would be on the hook for, quote, every penny of his $950,000 salary.
Right.
And then he just bought season tickets to Blue Jays games and heckled all season long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would just, that is my dream ending for Trevor Bauer, is that he just doesn't play and is just, like, loud and obnoxious in the stands.
I don't know if Trevor Bauer has it in him to be loud and obnoxious.
You're right. Pretty tame, quiet, yeah. Keeps to himself.
All right, buddy. Last thing I want to touch on here before we call this thing a wrap is the fact that the Cleveland Guardians, of course, the Cleveland Guardians are the new name for the Cleveland Indians, but the Cleveland Guardians are being sued by, drumroll, the Cleveland Guardians of the Roller Derby Pro League. I just, man, it's too beautiful. Like, it's too funny to me. Like, I don't like the name to begin with, and the fact that they picked a name of another professional sports team in the city that is the same thing. I hope they get millions out of them. I hope they get so many millions out of them that the Guardians are forced to trade Jose Ramirez. That's what I want.
Amazing take. What a dysfunctional organization.
Right? What the hell, man?
Oh my
Especially
God.
For how good they are at player development and putting a team on the field with no money. Like, the rest of it is just a mess.
Like, you know what? This would be like, okay, if PETA has success converting the name of Bullpen into Arm Barn, and then they next set their sights on all team names that are after animals, and they're like, this is offensive to birds. You can't be the Cardinals or the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And then the Blue Jays' solution was like, you know what? The Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Canadian.
Yeah.
It fits. We're still blue. We're blue and white. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Imbeciles. That's
great. I love it. Indeed. All right. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Yeah. We always appreciate it. You can subscribe on our YouTube page. We appreciate all the subscriptions. You can do the same if you're listening on whatever podcast platform that you're listening to us on. Subscriptions always help us a lot. You can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast, and on TikTok, The Walk Off Podcast. We are very easy to get a hold of. If you have any questions, you have any comments, feel free to comment on the YouTube page, on the video. You can also send us messages on Insta and Twitter. Take care, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Go baseball. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.